In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17, we find again a very familiar passage, but the beauty of the Word of God is when you take the passage and you set it in a different context that we would know, like today, in the middle of COVID-19, in the middle of a sheltering in place order, and many people, of course, all around the world being quarantined, as a Christian, it takes on even more practical merit. And I want you to see this here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, notice this, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I would submit to you tonight that whenever the Lord wants to grow us all, all he needs to do is to move things around or shake things up. And in the last 3 weeks, that's exactly what he's done. Let's face it, after the dust settled and we put our minds around the fact that we were going to be at home for maybe a couple of weeks, it was somewhat of a novelty. Kids were thinking, yes, we get an extended spring break, while parents were saying, well, you know, this is kind of a good time to spend some time with the family, and we'll certainly enjoy the ride. And I think in the back of our mind, we just thought it would be this, you know, quick one, two, three, where someone's going to have a pill or something's going to happen. And, you know, the Americans lived in this bubble of good health and protection from any kind of pandemic that it wasn't really real. It wasn't a reality that we'd ever faced before. And then it went from 1 week to 2 weeks and then 3 weeks and then to 4 weeks. And let's be honest, now it looks like it could even last through the entire month of May. And what began as a good time with each of us, it could very quickly turn toxic if we're not careful. Certainly, we love spending time with one another, but if we're not careful, if we get a little lax or get a little inward thinking, we can have a problem on our hands. I wanted to ask this question. Maybe you could answer it out loud in your living room. But has any one of you experienced a nerve being stepped on during this time? Anybody? Maybe your brothers or sisters are stepping on the nerve. Maybe mom and dad don't want to talk about that too much. Or if you haven't had a nerve being stepped on, has anybody in your house experienced a little shorter of a fuse in the last few weeks? I saw a meme that showed a wife in the foreground and her husband in the background, and she was saying over a cup of coffee, could you please blink more quietly? And when I saw that, of course, I laughed, and we all laugh at things like that, and I think those things are fun and whatnot. But when you look at that, you think, man, that's reality. I mean, we all, it's true. Even in Christian homes, people can get on each other's nerves because we're not accustomed to spending so much concentrated time together. I talked to a man, I think I referred to this on Wednesday, this last week, who has three kids, and he and his wife live in a super small apartment. And that may be your condition that you're in. The walls, when you spend so much time in them, certainly no matter what the size house you live on, can become very confining, and it begins to shrink perhaps. In preparation for this message, I wrote down the question, why do people get on each other's nerves? Maybe you could ponder that sometime. Why do people get on each other's nerves? If they don't initially, certainly we have the potential to get on each other's nerves after a period of time. I mean, after all, it is your family. These are the people with whom you love the most, right? So certainly, courtesy and kindness and patience and preference are meant for those to whom you live with as well, if not more, than those that you do not. There's no doubt in my mind that if you had friends that came over, that you would do your best to be amiable and friendly and certainly go out of your way to try to treat them kind. And then it's amazing, sometimes those people leave and the people that are left behind don't get the same treatment. And so yet the Bible wants us to be the same person with whomever is there. And yet we come to this period of time where we're all kind of locked down and confined to this lot space that we're in. And we could face some damaging time if we're not careful. All over the world, people are scrambling to find a cure for this plague called COVID-19. But I want to praise the Lord tonight that as Christians, God's already provided the cure to quarantine quarreling. You can write that down. Quarantine quarreling. That's what happens when you're not careful. Now let's just think about this. We don't know how long this is going to last necessarily. It could last through the month of May. I pray that it's done by the end of May. I pray that it is. And yet we don't know. Well, what if it does go another month? What if it goes, that'll be another almost 2 months. What if it goes another month after that? What are we all going to look like after that period of time? You know, a lot of guys are not shaving. A lot of people are not, you know, I don't want to go into all that. But the fact of the matter is, there's a whole lot to be said about being sheltered in place for 3 months and not going to work. What's the, you know, a lot of the things that we're dealing with and the stress, what's the economy going to look like? What are the bills going to look like? I just want to remind you, if you're a child of God, that you have absolutely nothing to fear. I've been young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. So if God is your father, understand that you're more valuable to him than every sparrow, every raven, every lily of the valley. You're more profitable and beneficial to him because you're his child. And he loves you, and he promises in his word that he's going to take care of his people. Now, that being said, part of taking care of us is giving the grace and the wisdom to us that we need to properly manage and redeem this time. In our text, we've learned this from past studies. See then that you walk circumspectly. Know what's going on in your circumference all around you. And certainly there's a physical aspect to that we've talked about. Concerning the virus and being careful and things like that. I noticed this last week that grocery stores and different stores are having people stand outside, and there's a quota of how many people can come in and how many people are going out. And I think that's responsible. I don't think that we should be alarmed by that. I think that's being reasonable, and certainly we want to get way ahead of this curve so we can go back to our normal lives as God sees fit. But certainly God wants us to be circumspect about the people who live in our own home and not act as fools. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but the Bible says, but as wise, and in doing that, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I might add that we are all evil at the core. Without taking care of that evil every day, without shedding it off and mortifying its deeds and putting on the new man, it can get really ugly very quick. Now, I want to take a few moments tonight, and there's far more than just this lesson involved in coping with quarantine. But I think this one is going to be a little bit more practical, and certainly I hope it'll be a blessing to you. For a few moments tonight, I want to give several suggestions to help us all cope with quarantine. And the first way I want to try to help us with this matter of schedule. Just write down the word schedule if you're taking notes. Let me suggest a schedule. Now, let me say why here, all right? From the earliest days of your life, you've been on some kind of a schedule. And schedules, we know, are routines, and routines provide several things. Routine provides comfort. It provides predictability. It also provides, in light of those things, stability. Now, one of the things that can make the shelter in place a little more than bothersome is the underlining fact that our normal schedule has been disrupted. God has taken everyone's schedule and turned it upside down and said, okay, now here's what he desires. I believe with all my heart, he wants this to be a blessing, not a burden. And I believe it actually is a blessing because now you have some autonomy to create a new schedule for you and your family in honoring the Lord. You see, some schedules may have been turned upside down, and that schedule prior to COVID-19 was not honoring to the Lord. It just was not. There were so many things going on. I thought about this morning. Excuse me, when I was in my devotions, I thought, you know, Lord, you've simplified everybody's life. You've made it so simple. Now, if they are working, we get up, we eat, we work, we eat. We work, we eat, we spend time with our family, and we go to bed. And then we get up the next day and we do the same thing over and over again. We don't have the time, we don't have the resources, we don't even have the capability to do anything else Now, that in light of this, in light of redeeming that time, making that time the most valuable it possibly can, requires a schedule. And praise God, now you have the opportunity to sit down, maybe even tonight, and say, okay, we're going to write a schedule. Here's Monday's schedule, and here's Tuesday's schedule, and we're going to go through it. Now watch. When making your schedule, I want to suggest to you that you make sure that you plan for things that are super important. And certainly this is not going to be, I don't want to be legalistic tonight. I do want to be suggestive. Of course, I want to be a help. And I understand that not everybody is going to operate on these terms. But I think at least you'll get the idea that these are things are valuable. And these things will help us cope with being locked down, with not having all the other things, and perhaps maybe we'll emerge out of this shelter in place and out of this virus with some schedules that would honor God and with some homes that would be closer to the Lord and to each other, with love that's deeper, a marriage that's stronger. And so let me just express a few things tonight. When making your schedule, make sure you plan for things that are important. Like, number one, sleep. Everybody understands sleep and how important it is. And so what would happen in the first week or two, you know, people were staying up and we don't have school because it was spring break. And the next week we don't have school. And the next thing you know, wow, now we have school. And now we've been used to going to bed at 11:30 and 12 o'clock at night as the kids. And now all of a sudden we get up and now they have to sit and they have to listen to Brother Farmer or they have to listen to Miss Gridley. And they're like, ah. I mean, let's face it. We're asking them to do something and they don't even have really the energy to do it. Their attitudes are, you know how your attitude is when you don't get enough sleep. And we look at our kids and say, why are you so grumpy? And then we forget, oh yeah, you had like 7 hours of sleep because you went to bed so late. And so let's just think about this matter of sleep. Going to bed at a decent hour and getting up at a reasonable hour is a huge part of how your day is going to go. It's kind of funny. I said to somebody the other day in the presence of my little boy, I know what I was going to say. I was going to tell him that when I can't sleep, that I quote scripture. And then I quote scripture and then I pray. And if, you know, if that doesn't work, whatever, I'll go back and quote scripture. And I said, son, do you know what dad does when he can't sleep? He said, yeah, you take pills. and maybe on occasion I'll take a magnesium pill or something like that. But I thought, no, I don't want him to think, yeah, that's what you just do. You can't sleep. You just take a pill. I don't want to operate that way. What I do want to do is I want to make sure that I get some sleep. And however it comes about, I want to make sure that the people in our home are getting the rest necessary so that we can make sure that we maintain the right spirit. The Bible says to not walk as fools. Now, a fool would say, oh, you know, I can get some sleep tomorrow night, or I can get some sleep otherwise, and you know, I'll make up sleep. You know, the facts show that you really don't make up sleep. Once you lose it, you lose it. You just sleep when you are, when you can. But you don't ever make it up. And so I want to encourage you to make sleep a priority. So sleep would be something that we need to schedule. It's okay, here's the parameters and give yourself some window and leeway there. And then number two, meals. Now, I'm just going to confess this. One of the hazards to being locked down at home is a well-stocked pantry and refrigerator. It's just hazardous. Every time I come home, my wife's making cookies, and then I'll go back, and then the next day I wake up, she's making banana bread, then I go back, the next day she's waking up, then she's brownies, and I'm just thinking to myself, I can't possibly eat all this. But then something happens inside of me, and then I say, I can do all things through Christ. I can eat all of these things, and that's a real hazard if you think about it. If you don't want to be locked down to a specific hour for meals, at least provide a window of time for meals and even snacks. Because if you graze, you're going to have the quarantine gaze. You're going to be looking in the mirror and you'll think that the mirror is a carnival mirror and it's being distorted. And it's actually really what we're doing is we're just feeding our body and we're not doing anything else to compensate for that. And so I just want to caution you with that. I know there are a lot of jokes probably being tweeted out right now or text all back and forth or messaged or however you call it about, you know, I saw this one, it was a Batman and he was probably 400 pounds and his belly was showing and he was standing there like this and it's just grotesque and it said Batman after quarantine and that's the way I feel most days. And so I'm just saying we need to be careful. But at the least, if you're going to schedule when you wake up and go to bed, you can schedule when you're going to eat and when you're going to have snack time. But let me say a couple of other things here, and let me jump right into something that's very important. If we think that our physical bodies need a schedule and have to have and need time specifically for us, then certainly you understand, number three, that we should schedule personal time with the Lord. Now, I've said this over and over many times as just kind of a side note, but think of the time that God's given back to you. Think of all the time that you have, and think of how you're using it. If I'm going to redeem the time, if I'm going to make most of the time that God has given to me, don't you think that the best time that I could spend would be with Him? Now, I got to ask the question, are you spending adequate, balanced, nutritious time with the Lord? Are you feeding your spirit? Though the disciples could never predict what Jesus was going to do next, they at least knew what He was going to do first. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, the Bible says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day," speaking of Jesus, "He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there He prayed." We read a verse this morning about Judas as he was on his way to the garden. The Bible says, "Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples." So if there was one thing certainly patterned of Jesus' time, it was that there was going to be time that He spent in prayer. There was going to be time that He spent concentrated with His Father. And I'm just simply saying, I think the best time that you can spend in the day, of course, is the morning time. I think the best time that you can spend in that time is time in the Word of God. Time refreshing and renewing and reviving your faith. Time spent in reviewing what you know is true from the Bible. Time spent nurturing your relationship with God. And I'm not talking about just reading to read. I'm talking about reading and meditating and listening to what God is saying. When I read the Word of God, and I've taught a few weeks ago, I think it's important that before you ever begin reading this book, that you pray over it and say, "God, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And then ask God to remind you again of what you need to know, especially for that day, because we don't know what tomorrow may hold. It says, "Redeem the time, for the days are evil, and every day has evil sufficient for the day thereof," according to Matthew chapter 6. And so if we want to make this time redeemable, if we want to make it valuable, please, for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you schedule and maintain a personal time with the Lord? Let me give you another one here. Obviously, if you have kids, then school time is a big part of their days. Now, students, do your level best. Can I just talk to you for a minute? Do your level best in staying diligent with your schoolwork for the Lord and not using the distant learning or some kind of difficult problem to not do your work and then kind of throw it back on your teacher, like, "Well, I don't understand this, so it's their fault and it's their job to reach out to me." Could I just encourage you to do your best, but not to do it for your mom or even for the teacher. Do it for the Lord. Do it for Jesus. As a side note, I want to say thank you to our teachers for putting in the work to make sure that every student is still able to have school at home. It's not easy talking to nobody, looking at a camera. It's not easy. There's just something different about having another body to as a soundboard or watching an expression to see if people get it. And it's a total different ballgame, but they've done it and they've owned it. And I'm grateful for that. But I just want to say thank you to all of our teachers. And I hope that you as students and parents will be grateful to them and certainly express your love and gratitude to them. But there has to be some schedule. So let me just help you here with a little bit. And you may have a schedule, but let me just say this. Have a recess time. Have a break time. And by the way, if you're working from home, consider taking a recess with them. I used to kid around with the guys in the Air Force when I was in the military. Then it just seemed like every hour, about every 45 minutes, they were going out to smoke a cigarette. And I'd watch them. They'd go out, and it would take anywhere between 6 and 10 minutes to smoke a cigarette. And you do that every hour for 8 hours. That's a lot of cigarettes, but that's a lot of time. So I used to go, just kiddingly, of course, to my my NCOIC, and I'd say, hey, they take all of this time. We get a half hour for lunch. They take all this time to smoke their cigarettes, and they take a lunch. Can I just have that time for myself to take a longer lunch? Of course, they laughed me and scorned me and all that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, if we're going to take a break at all, consider taking together. I know that's a big deal, but look, if you're working from home, you could still take a break. And by the way, you ought to take a break. You ought to leave everything there, shut the laptop or walk away and after the meeting. And if your kids take a break, then take a break with them. But even if you're a student, take a break. Don't just go subject to subject to subject to subject, because you need to stop and pull away from a while. Now, I sometimes I play a Wordscape game, and if I get I can't unscramble the letters. I put it down or I put it away, and then I come back and I see it immediately. And I go, oh, well, there's a word I didn't think of. Why is that? Because your mind, once it gets off of a subject, gets it on something else, and it kind of refreshes itself. It's like a reboot in some ways. And then you come back and, man, it just doesn't seem that difficult. So I'm just simply saying, have a recess time scheduled in there. You may even try to keep their schedule, moms and dads, as close to the real one that they would have as possible in school. Trust me, your kids know what time they go to recess. They know what time they go to lunch. And they can tell you when their breaks are. So scheduling personal time, sleep time, meal time, and school time, if you have little ones, man, that's normalcy. And you want to try to keep that and maintain that. And as we go through these next month or 2 months, Lord willing, as we go through, what's going to happen? That schedule is going to become routine. What does that bring? Predictability and security. It's stabilizing to have that kind of schedule. Now, in this, let me suggest something else. And I talked about your personal time with the Lord, but if you're not accustomed to doing this, could I just suggest this? Would you schedule family devotion time? Would you purpose in your heart to sit down with your family and pray and read the Bible, or at the least some devotion book? One of the biggest blessings during this time together has been our personal family devotions. So we get to have them in the morning. And in the evening, I'll confess to you, the one in the morning is really just kind of a Kickstarter. It's just something small to start the day. It's extremely brief, but our time in the evening has been so helpful and so inspiring. We are reading through the New Testament together, each of us taking turns and then asking all kinds of questions and then trying to work through application the best we can with God's help. And I realized that there are some parents who've never spent so much concentrated time with their children. So let me encourage you to use this time wisely as a parent. All right? Now, what do I mean by that? You have all the time in the world. You have all the time that you need to help them with their behavior. You get to watch them now all day long. You're with them all the time. You see their good points and you see the points that need to be corrected. So let me just encourage you and take a pause here to be the parent. You have all the time in the world to help them with their behavior, with the way that they respect you, with their response to you, and with their response to their siblings. And that's our responsibility. So don't let this time drive you crazy. Use the time to train your children up. Use the time. Take the few minutes. And look, it's difficult. I have tried to have family devotions with super young kids and super old kids at the same time. It's a circus sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, I truly, honestly believe that God blesses an effort. He blesses an effort. He's not going to do for us what he knows we can and should be doing. But once we do that, he's going to do all that we cannot do to help us and to give us grace. So I want to encourage you with family devotion time and to use it. Read through the Bible. Let your kids ask questions and then find the answers. Encourage them. Don't make this book work. Don't make it to be laborious, but let this book work in them. Let God use the Word of God for what it is. And I think redeeming the time wisely, of course, is in seeking the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 2 tells us about that it comes from God's mouth. So when we talk about family devotion times, now let me just say a couple other things, and then we'll be done here. Family game time. would be a good thing. You don't necessarily have to schedule it if you don't want to, but we've been playing a lot of games, usually after lunch or after dinner, and the game doesn't really matter, and some of the time, who wins doesn't matter, but the time you spend together does matter. Now, you know, we have a saying in our house, why is it competition? Because it is, and everybody wants to win all the time, and certainly there are some people in our house that win on a regular basis, and the rest of us don't. But what really matters is the time that you spend playing a game. I'll suggest this one. You know how we all at some point in our life say, "Yes, I love to play Monopoly." What we don't like is the time that it takes to play Monopoly. That's like playing Catan. If you've ever played Catan, that's one of those board strategy games. It's a 3-hour commitment. However you slice it, it's a 3-hour commitment. So you're like, yes, I love to play, but man, do I have 3 hours? Well, guess what? Now you do on some days. So when you think about Monopoly, you normally think about, yes, I want to play it, but man, do I have the time? And there's a game that's basically, it's Monopoly Deal. You play Monopoly with cards. Even on the outside of the box, I think it says a 15-minute game. And sometimes they're very quick. And sometimes they're 50 minutes. Sometimes they're a little longer than that. But it's a game that you can play. And here's my point. Regardless of whether it's dominoes or cards or rook or perpetual commotion or whatever it is, Yahtzee, Scrabble, it really doesn't matter. What matters is the interaction. What matters is the time that you spend and valuing that time, but making sure that time is honoring to the Lord. Now watch, if I'm not spending personal time with the Lord, if I'm not having extra time with the Lord and family devotions, then those times could be pretty raunchy. They could be times when those nerves really do get stepped on and where people do step over the boundaries and they become hurtful and sarcasm becomes knives that are stabbing and hurtful. And so let's just think about the balance there, family game time. Let me mention two other things and then I'll be done tonight. And this is one that I'm not good at. This is one that I don't like. But it's one that I think you need to balance out the opportunity that you have to eat so much, and that's exercise. This is something that I see a lot of people doing and know that I need to do more of it. I started trying to do some more on Friday, and I woke up Saturday, and I was reminded why I don't like it all over again. But the fact of the matter is, if we're allowed to get out, and by the way, you are, I'm astonished at how many people are out walking and how many people are riding their bikes. And I love the fact that parents are doing it with their kids. The other day, I was out in the front yard doing some things, and I just noticed all these people going by, and most of them are saying hi. This one guy said, "Good morning." I said, "Good morning. I hope you enjoy the day." And he said, "Well, there's nothing else to do." And I thought, well, yeah, there's a lot of other things to do, but he didn't even sound like he was very happy doing what he was doing. Now, I don't know if it was because he was walking or if he just couldn't do whatever else he wanted to be doing. But the fact of the matter is, if you can get out and take a walk, man, get out and take a walk. Whether it's by yourself or whether it's with someone else, take a walk, take a run. I know some folks run and they work out and do all those things. And I think it's wise. I think it's very, very, very wise. And certainly I want to be wise with the time. And though I don't like it, I understand that I need it, especially at my age. I know that some of you are saying that right now. And then let me suggest this last one. And this one could be probably the most difficult one of them all. And that's this. If it's possible, try to set some alone time. Try to set some alone time aside during the week just for yourselves. Now, whether that's screen shopping instead of, you know, window shopping, if that's, you know, getting on the internet and perusing and looking at some things or communicating to your friends, whatever, whether it's reading a book or taking classes online, I know that there's some people that have done that, whatever it is, even if it's just chilling in your backyard, your front yard, or whatever, I think it would be wise for, as we used to say, everybody go to your corner. And everybody just spend some time alone. Now, I do want to caution, and certainly Cammie and I are working through this as well, I want to caution you to send your kids to a corner with some kind of a device all day long or for the majority of the day. I think that's hazardous to them. There's tons of studies that you can look at and show what all of the lights and all of the fast motion and even watching movies on a device, all of that electronic stimulation, what it does to the brain. And I get it. It's easy to say, go in there and I'm going to go in here and lock them away and don't see them all day long and have electronic babysitters. I get it. And I'm not saying that you can't have that as a part of your day or their life. But I do think it should be monitored. I do think it should be balanced, and I do think that if you're going to redeem the time and your kids aren't wise enough to do it for themselves, that as a parent, you should be doing it for them. And I know it's work and it's laborious, but guess what? This is the time we talked about today. There's nothing in this cup that God has handed us that hasn't already been filtered by love. And he's given us this opportunity. And yes, these days are evil if we don't use them wisely. God says, I want to give you a formula for doing that. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, there are many other factors that come into play. We certainly want to be looking at those in the coming weeks. But for now, hopefully this was an encouragement to you and your family. And remember this. Turn back, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Just one page over. Look what it says in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and that's intent to harm. And be kind one to another. The Bible says, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, the greatest enemy in the home is really not Satan, it's self. It's ourselves taking everybody around us for granted. It's ourselves thinking only of what we want to do and how we want to make out of this conversation, and we're not caring about everyone else. That's the greatest enemy, is selfishness. And so, if you look in Scripture, I did a word study, quick word study this morning. You could do a word study on what a fool is like in Proverbs. And I think if there's one thing that is the most common denominator in describing a fool's heart or his character, it's that he's all about himself. Now look at that in our text. See then in verse 15 that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I hope that was a help to you. And certainly we want to go and talk about some other things, maybe just kind of get into some more elements of the Spirit of God and Scripture. But I think you kind of get that. I think you get the idea that, you know, Lord, if I have the opportunity to schedule things now, I can make my life simple and stable. Then when this is all over, as things come back into my life, I can determine, okay, no, this is a schedule. Now, how is that going to affect my time with the Lord? How's that going to affect my time with my family? How's that going to affect my time in managing it to get the most out of it and redeeming it? And I think that's one of the things that we can benefit in this time alone together, away from everything else and in self-quarantine. So coping with quarantine is going to be difficult if we do it alone, but it's not going to be impossible if we do it through Christ. Father, we do love you and we thank you for, Lord, being predictable. You're always going to do what you say you're going to do. And Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your predictability and the time that you spent with your Father while you were here on this earth. Now, God, will you help us to do the same? Lord, will you guide us in every step that we take this week? I pray that families would have more time for devotions, that they would be encouraged to be around one another. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see the necessity of time together. And I pray that you would encourage them. God, I just pray that you'll bless your people through this. I pray that you would help us to shine as lights. Help us, Lord, to show the world what peace looks like. God, again, I pray that you give us wisdom. Help us to redeem this time now. We thank you for the time together. I pray that you would bless our evening. In Jesus' name I pray.